This is Bad Attitudes.
Hello, friends and strangers, and welcome to another episode of Bad Attitudes, an uninspiring podcast about disability. I'm your host, Laura. I promise, I really am smart. This week's supporter shout-out goes to Rookie Saavedra. Thank you for your support, Rookie. If you're interested in supporting the podcast, be sure to check out the Ko-fi page at ko-fi.com/badattitudespod. You can subscribe to one of 7 membership tiers for special perks like bonus episodes, book reviews, a virtual book club, and more. Tiers start at just $2 per month, and your support helps keep the pod running. If subscribing isn't for you, you can also make one-time donations through Ko-fi, and each donation will be shouted out in a future episode. But there is no pressure to subscribe or donate. Sharing and interacting with the podcast is incredibly helpful. The best way to grow the podcast and our community is through word of mouth. So if you like this episode, be sure to share it with your friends. Leaving a rating or review on your favorite podcast platform also really helps me out. For questions, comments, or ideas, email badattitudespod@gmail.com or reach out through social media. Follow at Bad Attitudes Pod on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. As always, I want to remind you that disability is not a monolith. My experience as a disabled person is going to be different from the experiences of other disabled people. I am one voice for the disabled community, but I am not the only voice. If you listened to the previous episode, and if you haven't, why not? It was the 100th episode. Kind of a big deal. But if you have listened, you might remember I made a somewhat shocking revelation. Well, shocking to me, anyway. It turns out that as a child, I did not initially test as gifted. I didn't learn this until I was in my 30s. I grew up attending gifted classes. While I have no idea what my IQ is right now, my mom told me I once tested at 146. Not a genius, but certainly above average. I got a significant academic scholarship for college. I am, objectively, smart. So the idea that I didn't test as gifted the first time around shook my foundations. My intelligence is a central pillar of my identity. Even today, despite having this podcast, if asked to describe myself, I would mention smart long before I got to disabled. I'll be the first to admit that my intelligence is mainly based on so-called book smarts. My street smarts are negligible and are mostly based on my inherently cynical nature. Not trusting a damn soul keeps you safer. My sense isn't always common. Sometimes I can't solve a simple problem because I'm trying too hard to think of a clever way to go about it. So while I can say with confidence that I am smart, I want you to understand what that actually means. Since I am confident in my intellectual abilities, it shook me to my core when I learned that it took more than one test for me to be considered gifted. I latched on to the idea of being of above average intelligence. It has always been important for me to be perceived as intelligent. Nothing shakes my confidence quite so much as being made to feel stupid. Intentional or not, an incident of being made to feel unintelligent will stick with me, sometimes forever. Why did I latch on to being the smart kid? Because I didn't want to be the disabled kid. Like it or not, when we're in school, we get put in boxes. People glimpse a single identifying factor about us, and for most of us, that's who we are for the entirety of our school career. The smart kid, the bad kid, the class clown, the teacher's pet. Faculty, staff, and other students see us as this one thing, one time, and it's almost impossible to become something else. Keep in mind, none of this was a conscious decision on my part. As a child, I didn't recognize that I would be identified as the disabled kid unless I adopted a different label and quickly. but I clearly understood it on some level. Inherently, I understood that I didn't want to spend 13 plus years known only as the disabled kid, the girl in the wheelchair, or the girl with OI. I'm sure to some people that's all I was, from kindergarten through 12th grade. That's how they saw me, and I could never be more than that for them. It certainly wasn't for lack of trying on my part. I consistently tried to prove I was everything but the disabled kid. There's nothing wrong with being a disabled kid, but being the disabled kid is a different beast. I imagine many people who grew up with a disability had a similar experience. Everyone wants to be regarded on their own terms, to be identified for what they deem important, not what draws society's attention. Unfortunately, when you're disabled, that's often all society can see, regardless of your other accomplishments or interests. That's especially true if you're a kid. You don't just get to be a kid. You have to be a disabled kid. As happy as I was to be the smart kid, I wish I had known then what I know now. Grades don't matter in the long run. They aren't an indication of your actual intelligence. If they were, my grades in trigonometry and pre-calc are indicative that I am not smart at all. There were times when I worried myself sick, literally sick, over my potential grades, not even an actual grade. That's not healthy. It was bad enough that I put that pressure on myself, but it was coming from other places too. My parents were actually pretty cool about grades as long as I was trying. It was really only an issue a handful of times, like when I would hide tests I got less than stellar grades on. And that was more about the hiding than the actual grade. My grandparents, on the other hand, were very grade-focused. Both my grandparents, these are my mom's parents, by the way, grew up on farms. But my granddad had to stop going to school in the 8th grade because his dad got sick. He was the oldest son and had to help out on the farm. He completed his GED, the correspondence, while deployed during the Korean War. Education was incredibly important to him. And as far as he was concerned, grades were the only metric to judge success by. He was a businessman all his life. Metrics were a big deal. My grandma, on the other hand, had parents who insisted she get all A's, and not getting decent grades was a punishable offense. I still remember being proud of a test where I got a 98%, and she asked why it wasn't 100. That's the energy she brought to grades. My point is, I put a lot of pressure on myself to do well in school because I didn't feel like there was any other way I could distinguish myself as something other than the disabled kid. I couldn't do the physical stuff, so being an athlete was out. I've never been a joiner, so most extracurriculars were a no-go. Even then, I was artistic, but didn't pursue art in any meaningful way until after college, much to my chagrin. I haven't been a student in 10-plus years, but being perceived as the smart kid remains central to my identity. It's hard to let go of something that was your identifying quality for most of your life. Aside from not wanting to be identified only as the disabled kid, it also very likely has something to do with the perception of disabled people as unintelligent. I'm all about proving people wrong. When I meet someone new, it's always in the back of my mind that they might have a preconceived notion about my level of intelligence, and I want to make sure I quash that immediately. Listen, I'm smart, and I'm disabled, but I'm also a lot of other things, like creative and sarcastic, and kind of a slob, and also able to be surprisingly logical despite being right-brained. No one is ever just one thing. Humans are like onions and ogres. We have layers. Did you lean into a particular identity growing up? Were you the smart kid? The jock? The class clown? I have a soft spot for class clowns. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you in the next one.